This morning, if you guys have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the Gospel according to John. We're going to look at a short section of scripture from John chapter 17. We will be reading from verse 14 to verse 19 as we talk about the sanctifying truth that Jesus prayed for. Everybody there yet? John 17? Okay, let's read. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let's pray for the word. Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just give you great thanks for who you are, for being such an awesome God and Father to us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your word that is true to us, Lord. And so we pray right now that as your Holy Spirit move in our midst, Lord, that indeed he would be leading and guiding us into all truth this morning, Lord. We pray that whatever you have for us today would be buried in our hearts and that it would be leading to the bearing of fruits, fruits that are leading to repentance, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, growing up in my small community there in the country of Belize, I always wanted to know something about everything. Right? I read a lot about everything that I thought I needed to know about, whether it was about cars or buildings, machines, science, anatomy, whatever I could get my hands on, I would read and I would go after it. I was a seeker of information as I was growing up. But as I got older, as I was introduced to the scriptures, as I got to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I realized that there was something more than just information that I was after. That the true purpose of me, this desire that God has given to me to be driven after just reading and research, was a quest for me to find truth. For me to be constantly be seeking and running after truth. And the reason why I desired to know the truth is so that I wouldn't be misled by anyone or by anything. Because that seems to be the common thing these days. So when I got introduced to the truth of the scripture, the truth in the Bible, for me personally, it just took off. And it changed the entire trajectory of my life. See, at this point, I was in school studying marine science and biology. That was the direction that I was going with my life. And while that was happening at the same time, I was also a part of a discipleship that was happening in my small community. So when our mentor, who was there at the time, came to me and he said, hey, I think the Lord wants you to start preaching on Sundays. I looked at him and I was thinking to myself, this man is crazy. He have no idea what he's talking about. Right? I had, before coming out of high school, I had intentionally flunked the last semester so that I wouldn't have to speak in front of people. And now I have this man coming and saying he thinks the Lord is saying that I should be leading on Sunday morning, he must be crazy. You know, but for as much as I was thinking that in my mind, the truth of God constantly kept pulling me and pulling me in that specific direction. So much so that even after graduating from the University of Belize, I didn't spend not even a day working in marine science and biology. I returned immediately after graduating to my small community and began to lead the church there. Right? See, this morning I want to talk to you guys about something that really pumps me up. And I think it's something that should pump every one of us up who are followers of Jesus Christ. Right? This should be, for you and I, the sugar in the morning, or the caffeine, for those of you who are coffee drinkers, you know, the vitamin pill that you take, the energizer that gets you going every day. See, what we find here in John chapter 17, Jesus, as he is praying to the Father for his disciples, he asked that the Father would sanctify us in the truth. And without wasting any time, he made sure that you and I would know and would understand what truth is. He immediately went on to say, "Your word is truth." Right? So sanctify them, Father, in your words, which is the truth. The word of God is truth for us. For you and I to be sanctified in the truth is for us to be changed by the truth. It's for us to be made anew in the truth. Right? And I like that he said in the truth and not by the truth. Because sometimes we like to think we can outsmart what the scripture says. Right? Here is the difference that we can see. You can be by the sea or in the sea, and it makes a huge difference which one you have. Because if you're by the sea, you don't get wet, nothing happens. Maybe you're just chilling to enjoy the sun and the sand, dip your toes in the sand, whatever. But if you're in the sea, then you get wet. Something changed. Something happens. And the words of Jesus said that you and I would be sanctified, that we would be changed in the truth, not just by the truth. I grew up with a lot of people around my age who knows the truth. They know the scripture. But nothing about knowing the scripture has any effect on how they live their lives. If you would just talk to them and have never seen them in action, you would be convinced that they're a biblical scholar. But if you would look at their lives, then your mind would get confused, because then you think, how can somebody know so much and it not affect the way they live? They're not being sanctified in the truth as Jesus prayed here for us, right? The word sanctified actually comes from the holiness group of word that we have in the scripture. And the way we can look at this is, just as God, our Father, is called holy, 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 and is separate from all his creation, you and I, who scripture tells us we are called to be holy, are supposed to be separate from the rest of the world. Right? We're not supposed to look like them. And what should separate us is not the clothes you wear, the hairstyle you rock with, you know, whatever color lipstick you choose in the morning or the makeup you put on. That's not what should separate us. See, we live in this age where fashion. Fashion tends to, you know, you look at somebody based on how they're dressed and be like, oh, they're different. They're different. But when people look at us, it's what should be coming out of us. Yeah. The truth that we live by, the truth that is buried in us, the truth that we are in should allow others to see that we are different, that we are separate. And that all has to do with this sanctifying process that Jesus is praying for. Right? And so, as What we need to bring our hearts to, what we need to bring our mind to, is that the word that we are given in the scripture, the truth as Jesus says it is what we need to come to daily with our hearts and our mind. You and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be sure that when we examine ourselves, right, that our thinking and our belief is in conformity with the Bible, with the word that we have, the written word of God, because this is truth. And when we come to that, we know that we will be in good hands. Not just good hands, but that we are in God's hands as we stand in his word. So don't just know the truth, right? Don't just have information in your mind somewhere about what the Bible says. We need to be changed. We need to be transformed in this truth that we have. This is the truth that Jesus prayed for us to be sanctified in, none other. And it is in this truth that we have in the scripture that you and I are sent out into the world to not be like the world, but to change the world by the very same truth that Jesus prayed for us to be sanctified in. One person at a time, this can happen. Whenever we open our mouth to speak, truth should just burst out. It should be like light in the midst of darkness when we speak to people. What should set us apart is the truth that we are sanctified in. The truth that Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified in, which is the word of God. Now, for those of us who are a bit older and more mature in our walk with the Lord, this might be an easy thing. We know it, we've been in it, we've been doing it, you know. We know truth, we love truth, we live in it, and we're being sanctified by it. And most of our lives demonstrates this to other people. So why is this important? Why is this important? This is important because when truth is absent, when truth is missing, we will only have conflict in our lives. Many of us are old enough to know this, and we have been seeing this. Maybe in small communities, you see it in your workplace, you see it in the nation, that when truth is removed, when truth is absent, we only have conflict. There's a small section of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 from verse 3 to 7 reads as follows. It says, "For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times, there was no peace to him who went in or to him who came. For a great disturbance afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Now, just a little background into what is going on here. Asa is now the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, right? This was at the time when there was a split in Israel. And Asa, being the third king, he had his dad before him. And then his grandfather before that, who were both men that strayed away from God. They rebelled and they did evil in the sight of God, we are told in the scripture. And as the prophet is speaking to Asa here, we see what we find in verse 3, in verse 5, and in verse 6, what seems to be a glimpse of what it's like when we turn away from God, when we push God to the side and we run out and do what we want because we think we know better. When we set ourselves and everyone else against God, when we do what the scripture call is evil, these are the things that are the end result. It says that they were without the true God. Now, this is always interesting because we know from scripture, we know throughout the Old Testament that Israel was God's people. And so the weird question for us to ask is, how can God's people not have God? Why are they called God's people? But here we are told that they were without the true God. And we know what that means. They traded him for idols. Time and time again, they did this in the Old Testament. Right? They traded him for idols. They exchanged what scripture tells us in Romans, the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. So they were without the true God. They had gods who were set up in high places, but it wasn't the true God. Idols that they were worshiping. It says that they were also without a teaching priest. This responsibility that was given was either neglected or the information was not wanted. Because here is the truth. When you step away from the true God, then there is no need for you to hear the truth from those who teach it. And this is not only the position that Israel was in. We know that even after Asa, they got back in this very same position again. Right? The world, as we can look at it right now, is in the middle of experiencing this very same thing. Some of us might know people personally who wants nothing to do with the true God, and they want nothing to do with the shepherds that God has given to us, those who he has set up to lead his churches, right? The teachings of the true God doesn't allow certain people to live the way that they want to live. And because it's their way, above God's way, they want to have nothing to do with those who teach is true. Right? When we void ourselves of true teaching, we're going to end up without law. Those were the three things that he described. Without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Whenever we void ourselves of truth, and of the teachers of truth, we will end up without law. We will be what the world calls a lawless society. God gives us teachers who teach us truth to help us to keep his laws. If not, we run away from them. And what we see when truth is set aside, when it is pushed out, when it is not followed, the result, no God, no teacher, no law. And such a state will only lead to no peace. Right? In verse 5, it says, in those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For great disturbance afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. I want to share with you quickly something that I've been dealing with over the past few months. Right? It's kind of heavy, so just bear with me. In my small community, we are descendants of what in our history books there in Belize is runaway slaves. Gales Point, where I am from, was actually the first community that is formed by slaves who fled their colonial masters and formed their own little habitation there. But what we are removed from some of the things that we brought with us as a culture, but not far removed from other things. And so there was a young lady Everybody referred to her as the best and brightest that we had. You know, 22 years old, she became ill. And instead of going to the doctor, her parents decided that they were going to try other means. You know, and the other means is seeking witchcraft to give them an answer to what was going on with this young lady. Instead of following truth, they decided that they were going to follow lies. Because that is all it is. People who pretend to work what they call witchcraft and all these things, it's all lies. Nothing is truth in it. And in that quest of them going down that road and listening to all the lies and following other people, it led to the death of that young lady. See, she had medical conditions that could have been remedied. The youngest general practitioner would be better than the witch doctor in this case. But because they followed lies, they pushed away truth and wanted nothing to do with the truth, it led to the death of this young lady. Right? I saw the death certificate, looked at the stuff. It was stuff that was very treatable. Could have been done had they gone and see the doctor, but no, they wanted something else. Right? And so we've been dealing with that in the community over the past few months. And the result of them pushing away truth and following lies, God got pushed out of the picture. They wanted to hear nothing from me, the pastor, because they didn't want to hear truth. Right? They were attacking other people because the very same problem that man have had since the Garden of Eden, finding somebody to blame, is going to arise when you follow lies. And right now, there is no peace in the community. Multiple families are at odds, are at war with each other because of the lies that were pursued and followed. And so I'm experiencing firsthand what happens in just a small community when people push the truth aside and follow lies. And this is the very same thing that is going. It doesn't matter how big a country is. The minute we step away from God's idea, the minute we step away from the truth that He has given to us and begin to follow lies, we will end up with no peace. We will end up with lawlessness. We will end up with people being at war with each other. Right? And so, we're reaping what comes when we trade truth for lies. But God, in His mercy and grace, right, is still shaping and moving things in order to bring people back to the truth that He has for them. Right? See, we realize here that, I think as we get to verse 6, where it says they were broken in pieces, nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. I like that phrase right there where it says, God troubled them with every sort of distress, right? And I believe that as a people, whenever we're going through hard times and tough times and even distress, instead of looking at it as a way of saying, oh, it's just punishment for me for what I'm doing, we need to see it as God just shaking us up to say, hey, come back over this side. Hey, you don't need to be running and following those lies. I'm going to put this little struggle and this little distress here so that you would remember truth is still right here. It is actually God being merciful and still being gracious to us to shake us up and remind us, hey, truth is still an option. At any time, you can turn away from the lies and you can pursue truth, and guess what? You will find it. It tells us that even in the middle of their distress, when they would turn to God and seek Him, He will be found by them. See, King Asa recognized the importance of seeking God and following his commands. And we are told in the scripture that during his reign, he cast down the high temples that they had and all the idols. It's even said, I think in Kings, that even his grandmother, who was a part of the idol worship, he removed her. He was even at odds with family members because truth was very important to King Asa. He wanted the people of God to be pursuing God and following the commands that God has left for them. And if the same is true for you and I, as we hold God's truth near and dear to our heart, we might even be at odds with loved ones and family members. But we should never allow that to distract us. We should never allow the fact that, oh, because I love them, I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to say nothing about the truth. No, truth is important. We need to pursue it. Right? Asa brought reformation to the kingdom of Judah because the truth of God was so important to him. And so we need to ask ourselves, what do we want to see for our community? What do we want to see for our city? What do we want to see for our state? What do we want to see for our nation? Do we want people to be following truth? Or do we just want them to do whatever they want? I'm pretty sure the answer is always going to be we want them to follow truth. And so we need to be the example. Somebody has to step out and say, hey, look, this is what it is. God has given this to us and we need to follow it. Right? We need to follow it. It tells us in verse 7, as the prophet speaks to Asa, he says, but you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Right? And the same goes for us. We do need to take courage in this day and age. We do need to make sure that we are not weary in doing well, that our hands are not weak when we seek after truth and run after truth. For God himself will bring reward. And that might come in the form of revival in the community, revival in the city, in the state, even in the nation. As people repent of their ways and come and seek God and they find God. See, our task is not to withdraw from this world. We're not even to get into it and be confused by it. But you and I must maintain our witness in this world. We must maintain the truth that God has given to us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we walk and lead and pursue truth and set an example for others, God is the one that is going to bring about the change. But somebody have to do it. Somebody have to be sticking to truth. If not, people will continue to walk away from the Lord. They will continue to not want to hear anything from the teachers of the word. The country will continue to go down a road where it seems like there is no law. And eventually, there will be no peace in our midst. And since we know that is the result of not following truth, that is the result when we follow lies, we should be more quick to get up and say, you know what? Truth is important. Let's put our hands to the plow. Let's get going down the road. For truth must be told. It must be encouraged. We need the next generation to be better pursuers of truth than you and I. And so that the following generation would be even better than they are. For this, as Jesus said, is the only thing that is going to set us free. For as much as people are in bondage right now, they need this truth to set themselves free. But if we're not speaking it, then where is it going to come from? It's not like they're going to dig a hole and truth is going to come springing up like a fountain, right? It's given to you and I so that we can carry it and speak it. That's our task. So my challenge for you today is, as you leave here, as you go home, to the supermarket, wherever you are, you know, and you meet people, let truth guide your discussion. Let truth guide your way. Be the vessel through which the truth of God is going to penetrate people and this city and state and even this nation. For we are sanctified in the truth, as Jesus prayed for us. And the world needs to know that his word is truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the fact that for as much as you give us guidance in commands and information, Lord, you also point us to the reality of what life is going to be like when we step away from these things. And so, Father, we pray through the power that you have given us in your Holy Spirit, Lord, that our hearts would always be seeking after truth, that it would chase truth, Lord, and that we would be a people who have such a deep desire to proclaim truth for all those who need to hear. Lord, we thank you for always supplying us, Lord, with that which we need, for giving us your Holy Scripture so that we can live by it. And Father, we just pray that as we leave here today, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, that we would be the example you designed us to be, the truth bearer that you've called us to be, Lord. Not just for ourselves, but because your truth is designed to save, Lord, to bring to your kingdom those who hear it. So we ask for your guidance, for your blessings, for your protection over us this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would go before us and that you would indeed lead us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kenny. Let's continue in this attitude of prayer. We want to certainly respond to the message. God's word is like an ocean of truth, and we want to be swimming in it. As you've listened to Kenny today, realize that you need to respond by opening your life and allowing God's truth to come in and to commit your way to the Lord. For the first time, I want to give you that opportunity. Or you've been listening and you realize, you know, you've absorbed something of the wisdom of the age, which says truth is relative and I can make up my own truth. You need to repent. And I want to give you that opportunity. If you want to commit your way to God's ways, to pray with Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. I want you to pray with me right now. Before we take communion, just kind of a little house cleaning in our hearts. Just in the quiet of your heart, you can agree with me and say, God, thank you for this absolute truth, this authority that you've given us through your word. We realize we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not the product of time and chance. We were created by you and for you. That's the truth. And so I offer up my life, a living sacrifice right now. Live in me and through me, Lord. I'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. So be it. Amen and amen.